Christian, we can start out just kind of painting an overview of where we are today with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. We know that a certain fraction of these patients can be cured up front with regimens like R-CHOP. They can be sent for autologous transplant for recurrent disease. And it's kind of in that post-transplant space for patients who are continuing to have active disease that CAR T is being considered. But can you kind of paint a little bit of a picture of where things are today, Krishna, with the management of diffuse large B-cell? What are some of the key questions? And then where CAR T is fitting in?
Yeah, so depending on the age of the patient and risk factors and type of lymphoma, 60 to 80% of patients ballpark will be cured with combination chemotherapy. And we know that that tends to be R-CHOP. We've tried to do more intensification and generally that has not been successful. So patients who relapse, assuming that they're chemosensitive, they can be cured with autologous transplant. So the typical thing is that they get salvage therapy and they get high-dose chemotherapy and an autologous transplant. And while nobody wants to get an autologous transplant, their hair falls out. They end up spending 3 weeks to 3.5 weeks in the hospital. The mortality of that, as I noted, even in individuals these days routinely to 75 years old is really good. If you fail an autologous transplant, that is, if you don't achieve a complete response, or if you relapse after an autologous transplant, or if you're one of the groups that either doesn't respond to that upfront therapy or doesn't respond to salvage, then as I noted before, you have, you know, probably no more than a 20 to 30% chance of responding at all to the next line of therapy meaningfully. And again, you know, far fewer than 10% of those patients will achieve a CR and have a shot at cure. So that's really the role for CAR T-cell therapy. Many of the patients on the original trials that actually had an autologous transplant that we would hope would be curable but relapsed. So the nice thing about this is that the amount of prior failures to therapy don't really seem to be a bar. And as we talked about, I think before, that you know, you can be older, you can be in kind of bad shape. And although these are toxic therapies, we know that patients can respond. So I think that that's the role. Patients who have failed two or prior therapies or have refractory disease, these are the patients who can be cured with CAR T-cell therapies. I think the only thing, of course, we have such extraordinary optimism, but I think for, you know, to be a little bit of a glass half full person, we're curing probably about 40% of patients who get CAR T-cells. And well, that's fantastic. You know, those are patients who might, again, have had a 5%-ish chance of cure. It doesn't make Dr. Neelapur or me happy when we have one of these patients and they get a CR and they do progress again. So it just shows that we have further to go. And I think really critically, there are multiple novel agents, either targeting sometimes new multiple surface targets in addition to CD19. There are different constructs that are aimed at causing less CRS. So there are a number of different ways of kind of doing better engineering of these T-cell products to get better responses or to modify their toxicities. And these are all really critical advances that we hope will take that 40% cure and make it 70 or 80% would be great in the next several years.
So Sattva, this is a slide you put together for the talk that you did that we're going to be posting, talking about three preparations that have been evaluated quite a bit, two of which are approved. Can you kind of provide an overview of this?
Sure. So there are three registration trials that have been completed with CD19 CAR T cells in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And you can see here the ZUMA-1, the JULIET study, and the TRANSCEND study. And these three trials use three different products, which are highlighted there. The main difference being the CD28 co-stimulated domain used on the ZUMA-1 product, whereas the other two had 4-1BB co-stimulated domain. In addition, the TRANSCEND trial, the ratio of the CD4 to CD8 CAR T cells is sort of fixed at 1:1. All of them had similar conditioning therapy with Cy/Flu. All of them had similar histologies. There are some minor differences in terms of the patient population, with the ZUMA-1 having the most refractory patient population compared to the other two trials. But you can see here the manufacturing success is uniformly high at about 95 to 99% of the patients. They were able to manufacture the CAR T product. But if you look at the percentage of patients who are enrolled versus those who actually receive the CAR T product, this was 90% on the ZUMA-1, 78% on the TRANSCEND, and 67% on the JULIET. And that's partly because, as we talked earlier, some of these patients have very highly aggressive disease and they cannot wait the 3 to 4 week turnaround time that's necessary for manufacturing this autologous CAR T product. And some of that was also by trial design.
You want to comment on the efficacy that's been seen, Sattva?
Yeah, so on the left here, you can see the overall response rate across these three trials is somewhere in the range of 50 to 80%, which is quite remarkable for somebody with a relapsed or refractory large B-cell lymphoma who have failed at least two lines of therapy. When we look at historical data, this number is usually in the 20% range. So getting 50 to 80% is really a breakthrough therapy. And if you look at the complete response rate, that's also about 40 to 60% range. And this shows you the progression-free survival curve on the Zuma 1 on the left and the Juliet on the right. And what's nice to see here is the plateauing of the PFS curve at around the six-month time points with very few relapses beyond that. On the Zuma 1 at 2 years, about 40% of the patients remain progression-free and 35% at 1 year on the Juliet trial. And similar outcomes are also being observed on the Transcend trial. On the left, you can see for all patients. On the right, you can see the different histologies of patients. There are some histologies such as the transformed follicular lymphoma and the primary mediastinal B-cell lymphoma seem to do slightly better than the DLBCL and the high-grade B-cell lymphoma patients.
So we're going to hear about a case in a second, but just maybe you can talk a little bit about the current FDA approvals for these products, Atpa.
Yeah, so there are two products currently FDA approved for lymphoma. One is axicabtagene ciloleucel, tested in the ZUMA-1 trial, and the second is tisagenlecleucel, tested in the Juliet trial. Both are approved for adult patients with relapsed or refractory large B-cell lymphoma above the age of 18 years after at least two or more lines of systemic therapy. And both are indicated for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, high-grade B-cell lymphoma, and transformed follicular lymphoma. And in addition, the axicabtagene ciloleucel or axi-cel in short is also approved for primary mediastinal B-cell lymphoma.
So, you know, it's always difficult, Krishna, to compare between trials. Unless you compare something head-to-head, it's kind of hard to compare. And we hear now that we have two approved and another preparation that we're seeing some positive results. What's the difference between these products, Krishna, both in terms of their efficacy and as well as their toxicity profiles? Is there a way to compare them, Krishna?
Not easily. We actually have three large randomized trials that are looking at earlier lines of therapy, that are looking at patients who have relapsed head-to-head with autologous transplants. And while they're not comparing each other, eventually we'll actually see how these three trials stack up. The other thing that's different about these ongoing trials is that they're typically using similar systems to look at grading and reporting of toxicities, again, like using this ASTCT grading system. I think we do know some things, even though I would hesitate that there are differences. You know, the differences between these trials include differences in the type of chemotherapy administered beforehand, whether they allowed bridging therapy, inclusion criteria, in some cases, some subtle differences in, you know, which kind of patients got treated. But we do know that tisagenlecleucel and lisocaptagene or lisocel use a different co-stimulatory domain, as we were told. That's kind of a second signal. Imagine like you go to a web page, you can't get into the web page without entering a password. Well, T cells need a second signal to get activated. And the second signal that tisagenlecleucel and lisocaptagene have is different than axi-cel. Axicaptagene ciloleucel uses a CD28 domain, and that basically, it's kind of like it accelerates faster. So if you imagine a Ferrari going from 0 to 60 in a shorter period of time than a Civic, they might both get to the same speed, but they take longer time. So axi-cel, the cells expand more rapidly. We typically see CRS earlier, and the rates of CRS and neurotoxicity look to be higher, even though we don't have direct comparisons. But this may be a slightly better product for patients with more aggressive disease who can tolerate that higher rate of CRS. So there are some differences. If you take a group of people, even though none of us would be on the record of saying one should be used in this setting, if we have a patient who's older or in poorer shape, we might gravitate toward tisagenlecleucel. If we have a patient with bulkier disease, we might use axi-cel. So there are these things, but I would say this is a dialogue about the risks, and one of the reasons that we want referring oncologists and patients to talk to us and to discuss those options. And as Sattva said, there's also differences in the turnaround time and the likelihood of obtaining a product with axi-cel. Almost everybody who has a product sent out gets one back. With tisagenlecleucel and lisocaptagene ciloleucel, the fraction of the patients who actually were enrolled in the studies who got cells back were a little bit lower, and we don't always know exactly, but there are some differences there. So this is really, again, it's like other options. It's like myeloma when Dr. Munshi sees a patient. There's so many different options, and you know, it really requires, I think, a thoughtful discussion. So it's not simple, but we do have some guidelines.
So we're going to close out talking about ALL, but first we'll do one more case. Also to mention that CAR T's been looked at in other lymphomas, follicular lymphoma, mantle cell lymphoma. And if you look in your slide deck, you'll see some information about that. It looks pretty exciting. But let's finish out this discussion of large cell lymphoma and hear about the 79-year-old man, Bettina. Maybe you can specifically just focus on what happened when he got the CAR T therapy, because I really want to focus on management of side effects here. So can you talk about kind of what happened at that point?
Sure. So this is, I will say, one of my favorite CAR T patients probably I've ever taken care of, just because he was a really fun guy. But this older gentleman received CAR T cells and, despite his age and comorbidities, tolerated the whole process actually extremely well. He did have a peak of grade 2 cytokine release syndrome with hypotension and fevers over days 4 and 5, which is pretty average. He received one dose of tocilizumab that actually resolved the CRS entirely for him. During that time period and in the days after, he did note a very mild, slowed speech. His wife also noted this. However, he was overall passing his ICE scores with flying colors. They were 10 out of 10, and he had no specific neurologic deficits. I will say a grade 0 of ICANS, although he did maybe have some underlying neurologic toxicity during this. He also had a C. diff infection during this admission, but did very well, went home about 2 weeks after he got the cell infusion, and really continued to have a very good performance status. I would say he came in with an ECOG of 1 and left with an ECOG of 1, doing very well over 2 years out now.
Yeah, so amazing. Complete response in a situation really where you don't have many options.